This is Matt Wells at UN News. If we look at what Lake Chad was and what it is today, we understand that climate change is real and it needs to be addressed. The newly appointed UN Special Representative to the African Union, or AU, has told UN News in her first major interview. Addressing the nexus between peace and security under development and climate change, former Ghanaian Foreign Minister Hanna Tete highlighted the importance of helping Sahel countries to develop more resilience to deal with the impact of climate change. Ms. Tete reiterated her commitment to work on preventive diplomacy in line with the joint framework signed in 2017 and 18 on peace, security and development between the AU and the UN, a partnership which Secretary General Antonio Guterres has described as crucial to the future of multilateralism. Based in the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa, since the beginning of January, Ms. Tete told Cristina Silveiro what her priorities were for the year ahead.
My priorities are to implement the joint framework that was agreed between the AU and the UN, because that is essentially the document that creates the framework within which I operate. But specifically on the issues of the peace and security, to focus more on preventive action, as opposed to having to deal with the challenges after the event. And that's where I think that preventive diplomacy, our good offices working together with AU partners are important, because where there is the opportunity to resolve matters before they become full-blown crises, that should be what we focus on. In addition to that, I'd like to focus more on the process of building capacity for election support for the African Union Commission, because elections have now become flashpoints where we do have sometimes civil unrest, sometimes even more dire circumstances than that. And an electoral process doesn't just take place on the election day. I mean, there are a number of activities that have to be engaged in the year before the election, which will determine whether indeed there is going to be a reasonably free, fair and credible election. And I know that the AU has previously had support on that from the European Union. They had a program between 2015 and 2017. But I think that that program can be deepened further so that the whole timeline of events that take place from when the decision to hold the election, you know, is made, from to the determination of how people, who gets the right to register to vote, how procurement is done for the logistics of the election, what political space is created that allows all political parties and their representatives equal access to the media and to other opportunities to engage with the populace so that they're in a position to have those conversations that need to be held before an election takes place. How to engage the national electoral commissions and the work that they do to ensure that the closer you get to the elections, as ballot papers are being distributed to polling stations, as the work just before the election is taking place, that is also done in a manner that is credible and transparent. And after the election has taken place, the whole process of collation of results and transmission, making those results public so that people can follow and indeed they believe that this is a real outcome. And then after you've gotten through the process of finalizing the election and the results, then the process of transition, especially where there's a change between one political party and the other at the helm of governance. I think these are areas where there's still the need to build additional capacity within the African Union Commission. And I look forward to working with counterparts to be able to focus on these things and to ensure that more of the elections that we have on the continent indeed reflect the will of the people.
So the aim would be to have an African-owned support framework for countries wishing to hold elections on the continent?
Yes, because ideally Africa should be building the capacity to do this on its own.
You mentioned mediation, good offices, preventative work. Are there any specific situations that come to mind where you're looking to exercise these good offices, these joint good offices and mediative efforts?
Of course, there are a number of locations across the continent where I have counterparts. I have special representatives of the Secretary General who are working in those countries with those operations on exactly those particular issues. And so where we already have established UN structures in place, I don't think it is my mandate to get involved with that, unless, of course, my colleagues would ask me to do so. But in the event that there are new crises that emerge, and we have not as yet developed a mission there, because indeed the need hasn't arisen, but there is the opportunity to bring down the tension by engaging in this kind of preventive diplomacy. And of course, with the prior authorization of the Secretary General, those are the kind of things that I think I would be involved with.
Most of the peace and security issues that come to the Security Council are Africa-related. So what is the best way that the UN should be addressing these issues with the African Union?
Well, I think the joint framework that we have is a very good start. Because as I said, now that we are committed to work together to deal with these issues. But we must realize that there is the nexus between peace and security and underdevelopment and climate change and the consequences of climate change and what it does to communities that are mainly agrarian, and all of a sudden they see the possibilities of earning a livelihood evaporating before their eyes. And so while there is certainly work to be done working with the African Union, focusing on peace and security activities, there must be an equal focus on the developmental activities, and especially helping the countries that are more exposed to the vagaries of climate change to be able to meet that challenge and develop climate resilience.
For instance,
the countries of the Sahel, because this is a challenge all across the Sahel region. It's becoming warmer, the rainfall is less frequent, it's very difficult for agricultural activities that are mainly rain-fed agricultural activities to continue on the same scale. When you look at the way in which Lake Chad has shrunk, you know, over the last couple of decades, it tells you that, I mean, if you had any doubt about the fact that climate change is real and it has consequences, when you look over the timeline of what Lake Chad was and what it is right now, that should tell you that it is not by any means a hoax. It's real and it needs to be addressed. And so that's where you have a lot of the vulnerabilities across the Sahel belt. The insecurity that has risen is significantly along that Sahel belt.
What is it that you think you bring as an African woman to this post? How important do you think it is that you are an African woman in this position?
There are not that many African women who are involved at the highest levels in their efforts to bring peace to our continent. But at the same time, women and children are the most vulnerable and the most affected by conflict. And especially when you think of what happens when there are women who are sexually abused during conflict. And I think that it's important to have people like myself who can perhaps have a greater empathy towards the challenges that they face, and we'll have it on our radar at the time when we are having these discussions. Because we remember that it's not just a political issue and it's not just about bringing an end to a conflict, but it's also making sure that those who are the weakest and the most vulnerable are looked out for. And any peace that we attempt to build thereafter includes recognizing what they have gone through, taking care of their needs, going through a period of reconstruction, but at the same time dealing with the atrocities and the trauma that they have gone through. And so I would like to, over the period that I have the responsibility of being the SRSG to the African Union, to make sure that a focus is brought not just to the issue of resolving the challenges of peace and security, but making sure that those who are affected and who are some of the most vulnerable, their issues are also highlighted and considered and taken care of in anything that we attempt to do to resolve the situation.